Scripture readings today is from Mark 3, 31 through 35. It says, "Then Jesus' mother and brother arrived, standing outside. They sent someone in to call him Jesus. A crowd was sitting around him. They told him, 'Your mother and brothers are outside looking for you.' 'Who are my mothers and my brothers?' he asked. Then he looked at those seated in a circle around him and said, 'Here are my mother and here are my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother.'" So this text here today, these few short verses, have caused many arguments. They've been difficult to understand, and oftentimes difficult to accept. Oftentimes we wonder, who are my brother? Who are my brother? Who are my brothers? Is he saying that the family isn't important? What is he saying here? What is this meaning behind this? Why would he say it like this? So that's what I want to talk about today. As with any passage in Scripture, it's super important we examine the context of the verse. We look at what's before it. We look at what's after it. We look at the setting and what's happening during those times. I believe that's very important when determining what a Scripture really means, what it really means to you. So look at this. I want to look first at the setting. So Jesus, throughout his life, but especially in these times, he was continually facing opposition from the Pharisees and different groups. They were constantly following him around, trying to find every little thing to call him out on. Every little accusation they could find, every little slip-up, they were watching for, closely looking for, so they can condemn him. Even his friends and his family, the people he was closest to growing up, they weren't for sure about Jesus. In verse 21, they say, I don't know. Is he really the Christ? Is he really this man?" We see that Jesus is out here. He's teaching to the crowd. He's healing the crowd. He's preaching and spreading love. He's doing all these wonderful things. But in the back, you hear the Pharisees asking, and saying and stating and claiming, "This man has the power of Satan in him. That is how he has these powers. It's not through God. It's through Satan that he's having all this ability. And because of that, we shouldn't follow him." That's generally what the Pharisees in the back were calling out at this time, right before these verses here. So at this, and through other events, Jesus' family, they seem embarrassed of him. They seem to think, "Wow, he's actually a crazy man. Maybe he's not who he claims he is. Maybe these powers we've seen firsthand, aren't really from God, but they're from Satan, which is terrible. We really need to bring him back in and hide him away. Hide him away from the crowds. Hide him away from further embarrassment to the family." So then Jesus is out here teaching. And he has, I imagine, a large crowd around him. You have those up front who are really interested, who really believe, who really want to learn more. Probably a little bit further back, you have those that are like, "Maybe, I just want to hear what he has to say. It might be worthwhile, it might not." Imagine in the back, there's the Pharisees, stalking around, again, trying to find ways to condemn him. And then right on the fringe of the crowd, in earshot, I believe, but maybe out of sight, you see Jesus' family. And they have something to say. So remember this context as we continue through looking through these verses together. So I want to first look at verses 31 and 32, the request of the family. As the scene opens, as we first read these scripture verses, we see that Jesus' family is requesting something of Jesus. And they do this by sending a person who tells another person, who tells another person, who tells another person, until finally it says a crowd was sitting around him and they told him. So I'm sure everybody's like, "Hey, your family's back here. Your family needs something. They want you to come to them. They need you right now." Now this request had an expectation attached to it. We see that in verse 32 and it says, "Your mother and brothers are outside looking for you." This request, this expectation is that Jesus will drop everything he's doing. Doesn't matter what he's doing, he'll drop it and go to his family. Today we see, I can see dropping some things for family, but not everything. Some things are more important at that time. But at this time in history, in this community, the family was the most important aspect of society. It didn't matter what you were doing, where you were, anything that was happening around you. If your family said, "We need you right now," you went home and you did exactly what they needed, no matter what it was, when it was, or what the request was. So for Jesus to say, he didn't exactly say, "No, I'm not coming to you." But it sort of implies, like, "I'm not coming to you right now. I'm busy. I'm doing the Lord's work." It was crazy to think of at the time. And I'm sure the Pharisees in the back were like, "Yes, yes, we caught him at something. We caught him not putting family first." But with these two verses, if you read 31 and 32 about his family sitting outside and asking him to come to him, this verse doesn't seem very difficult to understand. There's his family, they say, "Come to me." It's pretty straightforward. But when we get to more of the controversial, more of the meat of the issue, is verses 33 through 35, when Jesus responds. He says, "Who are my mother and who are my brothers? And here are my mother and here are my brothers," everybody around him, all who do God's will. We see that in this request given to him, he doesn't go straight to his family. Instead, he causes confusion in the crowd. He causes confusion within his family. So first in verse 33, says, "Who are my mother and who are my brothers?" So rather than going to them, honoring the request, he offered a question instead. One that confused everybody. He wanted the people to consider who his family really was. Who was his mother? Who were his brothers? I'm sure everybody in the crowd, most people, they knew of Mary. They knew he had brothers. They knew he had this family that was there. They had heard it from behind. They had heard other people telling that his family was requesting him. They had probably met Mary, had experiences with Joseph, had experiences with the brothers. They knew that his family was there. So to ask, "Who are they?" from Jesus is an odd question. But Jesus wasn't asking, "Who is the family I was born into?" He was asking more of a spiritual way. Not just his physical family, but a spiritual family. And I'm sure when he asked this question, his family was a little shocked. I'm sure Mary was very disappointed, feeling as if her own son didn't recognize her. His brothers were probably very angry, thinking, "This is our mother. Who are you to disown her? Who are you to disown us?" That's sort of the way it sounds. And like everybody else there, they would have been confused. They would have thought, "Come immediately to us. Come to us now. We have something for you. We need you for something." Of course, Jesus knew their intentions. He knew they thought he was crazy. He knew that they wanted him to abandon all the work he's done and all the work he's going to do in the future. For in John 7:5 it says, "For neither did his brothers or his mother believe in him." Jesus, he came to do the will of God the Father. He came for the redemption of all humanity. He was in the process of teaching and preaching and preparing his disciples and all those that heard him for the work that followed his death and burial and resurrection. Jesus, he wasn't unconcerned about his family. He loved his family. They raised him. They loved him, and he loved them. But he knew that above that was his plan to fulfill all of redemption to humanity. And his family, they didn't understand this, and they didn't want him to continue his mission. He knew all this, and he knew he had this great job, and he knew he was to put this first. And I believe that's a great spiritual lesson for us. A great spiritual lesson comes from that one question. Of course, Jesus would never say, "Get rid of your family. Neglect them. Abuse them. Break them apart." That's not what he's pushing for here. He's not saying the physical family, the one you're born into, is not important. What he's trying to get at is that nothing is as important as God. Nothing is as important as redemption of your own soul and of those around you. Nothing is more important than the will of the Father in heaven. Our devotion to our family it can sometimes get between us, between our relationship with me and Christ, with you and Christ. That's not the purpose of the family, but sometimes it happens. Sometimes there's a need. Sometimes there's a want. Sometimes there's misunderstanding. And they call you from the crowd. They call you from somewhere else. And maybe they want you to abandon your mission. Maybe they don't understand your mission and tell you you're crazy. Maybe there's just not something there that's right. So because of all this, Jesus is saying, what comes first to me and should be to all of you is the will of the Father. That is number one. Behind that's the family. Supporting that is the family. And that is the purpose of the family. So then we get to verse 34. He said, here are my mother and my brothers. And no doubt, they're already stunned. They were shocked even more. Like I said, the purpose or the physical family is very important in these times. And these people were not his physical family. So for him to say, you are my mother, you are my brothers, was a big statement. Something that no one ever said. You don't say that. That's not socially acceptable. So they were very shocked at this. He was clearly referring to spiritual family as we look back on it now. But at that time, they didn't really understand that. But he emphasizes that those who followed him, they were going to have a personal relationship with him and through him the Father. And that was a true spiritual family. That's the message he's trying to get across here. And while this may be difficult for some to accept, while this may be difficult for us to understand, for us to really comprehend, just by taking a quick glance at it, looking at a deeper study, and learning from others, I believe that is the true message that Jesus is trying to get across here. The true message that family is very important. It is important. And we don't pick our family. They're given to us. But just as our spiritual family, we don't really pick them either. Our spiritual family is those gathered around God. Those who have gone through a new birth, who have been cleansed, who have been covered of their sins. That's our spiritual family. And just as we don't accept or don't pick our family, we don't pick that family. But that family, that spiritual family, that family through God, that is the family you will for sure be spending the rest of eternity with. Those are the ones you will be with forever in heaven. They are all your brothers, and they are all your sisters, and they're all in the family of God. This family of God will endure for all eternity, and it will never be separated and never be broken apart. So then he goes on to clarify that he says, whoever does God's will is my brother and my sister and my mother. Jesus, he made this uncomfortable moment. He made it very awkward. I'm sure everybody was sitting there really stunned and confused and didn't really know what to do. And he used this moment to teach, to preach, and to share a truth that may not have been understood in a time of certainty, in a time of not shock and not awe. He affirmed that those who submitted to the will of God, those were his family. Those are the true family, that no matter what, no matter what happens, they are all in the will of God. And through that, that is the true family. And that great truth remains today, and it can never be changed. Those who submit to the will of God are accepted into the family of God, never to be removed. And before I keep going, I'm not saying physical family can't do this. Your physical family can also be your spiritual family. They can also be right in there with you. Both the most important family, the one you'll spend eternity with, the one that'll help you in your mission and back you up no matter what, is that spiritual family. So Jesus, he's trying to refer in these statements. He's saying, what is the will of God? The will of God is of those who accept grace, those who accept the sacrifice that he was about to have. He was about to die on the cross for all those. And to be in the will of God, to be in that family, was to accept him. And those who believe that Jesus was dying for their salvation, and that he was doing the will of God, not thinking he was crazy, not thinking he was of Satan, those were in the family of God. They had already been accepted in that. They were born again and placed within him. And that is the will of the Father for all humanity. That spiritual family, that spiritual surrounding, those people who will always be for you, with you, and always there. And I hope this passage, a short passage, is enlightening, but also challenging. Some may find it difficult to embrace, but it responds, it gives us an eternal truth that requires us to look into it, to look deeper, and try to understand it. And there are many out there that may be not part of the spiritual family. They haven't responded to the offer of salvation, repenting of their sins and believing in Christ alone. And I believe that's terrible. And to be part of the spiritual family, to be part of the will of God, we are called to bring them into the family, no matter who they are. Whether they be friends, loved ones, even our enemies, we are to bring them into the family of Christ. We are to show them the path of salvation that we have followed and we are following even today. We should be praying diligently for all of these people, talking to them, loving them, acting kindly to them and for them and around them, and faithfully bear witness of the gospel before them. If you'll pray with me. Lord, again, thank you for this beautiful day you've given us. Give us the wisdom and give us the strength. Give us the courage and give us the realization we have the spiritual family around us to push forward, to bear witness of you to all those who don't know and to each other, to always be in worship of you and to always be a part of the spiritual family. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.